not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
All right, so this is the beginning of another episode with Full Gorilla Life. Today, I'd like to introduce one of my good friends, Nikki Durling. And Nikki is doing, I'm really excited about this episode, mainly because Nikki is doing something that I could only dream of, really, in the sense that she is really just picked up and went somewhere and really is just living the life that she really wants to live, right? No reservations, if you will. At least that's the way, that's from an outsider looking in. That is how I'm looking at it. So Nikki, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys. I'm excited.
Right on. All right. So what we're going to do first is we like to get to know the listener, or the listeners to get to know the person real quick. So we have 10 rapid fire questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. You can say pass if you'd like. So this okay. This is the gorilla gauntlet is what we like to call it. So number
gorilla
one.
Gorilla gauntlet.
Yeah, the gorilla gauntlet. Are you ready?
All right, let's go.
All right. Married or single?
Complicated.
Okay.
Good answer.
Any children?
Yes.
How many?
One.
Okay. City you live in?
Potrero.
Country you live in?
Costa Rica.
Okay,
Costa
cool.
Rica.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Favorite movie or actor?
Oh God, I always say it's The Notebook, but it's really Practical Magic.
Oh, The Notebook. They make those rocking chairs. What's the real answer?
Practical Magic.
I've never seen that one.
No. What is Practical Magic? All right, we'll get into that in a minute.
We'll have to come back to that. Okay. So favorite book or author?
Oh.
I don't read either. Don't worry.
I don't know. Pass.
Okay. Favorite type of food?
Mexican.
What do you drive? Or pedal or on your feet?
I drive my pimped out 1990 two-door Nissan Sentra.
I like it. I like it. All right.
I ran one of those in a Devon Derby once.
Right on. All right. Beer, whiskey, or wine?
Wine.
Favorite band or genre of music?
Probably favorite band, Death Cab for Cutie.
Okay. And last question, reservations or just walk in and hope for the best?
Walk in and hope for the best.
That's always. What I'm talking about.
Yeah. And honestly, I was going to be really disappointed, Nikki, if that was not the answer to that one.
This is becoming a thing now because this is the second time we've gone through these questions. And there's some backstory to this because I don't make reservations every day, but
yes,
a few
does.
Of
yes,
our friends get together. Larry and Tom and Corey and the families, and there's like 15 of us. So I like to make a reservation for 15, but they make fun of me for making a reservation for 15.
Listen, no, he wants to make a reservation for like Burger King.
That's not
like,
true at all.
He's true.
He's like, hey, there's 15.
All right, let's not waste our time or the listeners.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but reservations kind of suck the fun out of things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And that's what Keen does.
So maybe
that's why we keep him around, just so we don't have too much fun.
Okay.
All right.
So it's good talking to you guys. I'll let you guys finish up. I'll see y'all later.
So, So Nikki, I've known you from way back when me and Jeremy have. So we went to school with you. And obviously, some things have happened, right? We're a few years removed from high school. So maybe if you don't mind, maybe give us a little journey, or you know what, let's just jump right in and then we can backtrack. Where are you at right now?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
in Costa Rica.
You're in Costa Rica. Okay. So, and,
yes.
and you, are you there for vacation?
Go ahead. No, I live here.
Awesome.
Okay. So Nikki, you don't know me. I haven't ever met you. I don't know what you look like. I don't know anything about you.
Oh, all I'm that, really pretty.
I can imagine your voice sounds that way.
I'm kidding.
Now, you're in Costa Rica now. How did you get to Costa Rica and why Costa Rica?
Okay. So where should we start on this journey? So
anywhere you want.
I was on my second husband and I guess that's the way to start this.
Yeah, that's fine.
Jason and I, my husband, and then we have our daughter Simone, and he has a son from a previous marriage, my stepson. We had been living in Orlando and just were kind of over it. And there was a lot of family stuff on his side that happened. His mother passed away, and I was going down constantly back to Vero Beach to visit with my dad, my family, and helping my dad. He owns his own business. So I was constantly helping him. And it became this kind of joke saying, hey, you should move back here to Sebastian and run your dad's business. And I laughed at first, and then it just started to become like, wow, that would be a really great opportunity. So we ended up moving back to Sebastian, my husband had never been to Sebastian or lived there. And so we moved to Sebastian with this idea of like, we're going to be near all this family, and it's going to be like how I remember it growing up. And we lived there for 2 years, and it wasn't anything like we had imagined it to be. And after 2 years of living there, well, we were probably like a year and a half into living there. My best friend from kindergarten, Tiffany, and her two daughters, who had already been living in Costa Rica, had to come back to the States to take care of some paperwork, some important stuff with her kids' passports and stuff. So they ended up living with us for 6 months. And I was always gung-ho, like, let's go, let's travel. I've traveled since I was 16 years old. I've been to like 30 plus countries, and I just love it. I find it freeing and amazing, and I love exploring the world. But Tiffany and the girls living with us really opened up my husband's eye to saying, maybe we could move to Costa Rica or do something. So we made a bet. Jason and I decided he was a manager for a shop in Vero that did mountain biking and kayaks and stuff like that.
Okay.
And in Costa Rica, it's really not legal for gringos to work. It's really kind of a complicated process.
Interesting.
And unless you have like a special skill set. So we decided one night, I don't know, I'm sure it was after a couple of drinks, like, let's make this bet. He said if he could find a job in Costa Rica, we would sell all of our stuff and move there.
So Nikki, you owned a house at this time or no?
Yes, we owned a house,
okay.
Two cars. We were the American dream. We had two steady jobs. We owned a house, two cars, two kids. And yeah, because his son at the time was living with us full time.
Now, were you running your dad's business at that point?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What kind of business was that?
My dad owns a house painting business. He's owned it now for 20 plus years there. He holds most of the contracts, well, I guess, unless you live there, for Windsor and John's Island, the higher end beach end communities.
Okay.
So that's what he does. So I was like the one man everything for running the office and for his business.
Okay.
So Jason got on the computer one day and found these bike forums for Costa Rica, all of this stuff near where Tiffany had been living, and got in touch with this guy who owns a business here. And the guy this was like in February, March of 2015. And he met the owner of one of the shops, and the owner interviewed him after several communications, interviewed him via Skype, and was like, if you move here, you're hired. So then it just was like, are we doing this? Are we seriously doing this? And we didn't tell anybody. We didn't tell my parents. He didn't tell his dad. We were completely secret about it for a very long time. And that was in March or April of 2015. And in September 2015, we had almost sold everything, and we picked up and moved to Costa Rica.
All right, so at this point, right, you already have most of your stuff sold. Did you already sell your house?
Our house hadn't been sold yet. So what the plan, which this is why I hate plans, because it never works out. They're so silly.
I say we make plans and then life happens.
Exactly. So the plan was four of us came to Costa Rica, and we had rented this little condo right next door to Tiffany, and it's not season where we in the area where we live. They have like high season and low season, so which also coincides with like rainy season and dry season. So in September it wasn't season, and we were the only two, our family and Tiffany's family were the only two people in all of these condos, and we lived right next door to each other. And we moved down, and Jason stayed for about 2 weeks, And then the plan was for him to go back, finish working out his extended time that he had given them, and sell the house. We got here. When Jason left to go back to the States, within 3 days, he called and said, no, F this. I want Pura Vida back. I love it so much. I quit my job. I don't care if our house sells. I'm coming back. So okay. Without our house even sold, he came back. And then eventually it sold. And yeah, we moved here, the four of us, with one backpack each of stuff and one suitcase that held homeschooling books.
So you homeschool your kids?
No.
Okay.
For like 1 month. And then I was over that. Gotcha. I was like, that's not happening. when I say we sold everything. There was nothing left that wasn't.
How did that feel? Like, I'm sure for most people that has to be difficult to let go of things that some things that mean nothing, but in their head it means everything. But and then there's some things that might have some sentimental value. So what was that process like of just literally letting go of for the,
it was extraordinarily difficult for me. I'm a hoarder. Uh-oh. And I have crap from like kindergarten, and I tried to do the best job I could of like digitally archiving, You know, stuff that I had. And there's one box at my parents' house that is just photos like from back in the day when you printed them out that I didn't want to get rid of and stuff.
Like a shoebox, a refrigerator box. I'm just kidding.
No, not a, like a small suitcase.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, and was but it, it was. Go ahead.
Was it freeing at all to let go of all those earthly possessions, though?
I'm not going to lie. I was super, like, scared and had anxiety about it because I was like, oh, my God, I love this coffee mug. I remember. Everything was attached to these memories, you know?
I try to think about that, like, me and my wife, and I think I would probably be the one that holds on to stuff more, but she, like, feels like if we haven't used it in 2 months, we should throw it away.
And I'm probably, like, yeah,
but I'm probably pretty sure you use that maybe next month and she'll be like,
yeah,
we'll buy it again. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, like I still had my prom dress. Like I still have the Doc Martens I wore when I was 16 and
okay.
High school. Like fit. I'm telling you, I was a hoarder.
Okay.
And so it was a painful process for me, but yes, it was super freeing also to realize that that stuff doesn't really matter, that you always kind of carry that memory. And as long as you, I guess because I tried to like take pictures of everything and write little notes. So later when I'm old and have dementia, I can read them back and be like, remember those purple Doc Martens? Like, I don't know.
But that's true though. Like, yeah. It still holds the memory through the picture without having the actual shoes. So
I didn't, once I got over the fact that I didn't need to actually physically store them in my house somewhere, that I could find them online, you know, and look back at memories, that was so, I think the turning point
when you guys moved there and mm-hmm. knowing, so you had a job here, he got a job there, you guys went there, just the unknown. I'm curious how did your kids feel with this process?
So Simone was 5, about to turn 6, and okay. Jonas was 11 or 12, and they were fine with it. Okay. It was completely fine. You have to imagine. I mean, we're moving to a new country.
Yeah.
The girls, Tiffany and her girls, had lived with us, so they had become all like super best friends.
So they had a connection
friends.
There that helps.
Yeah, and then Tiffany and her girls had already lived here for a couple of years, so then we met friends with them, with kids, and it was this new kind of exciting adventure for
do you guys,
the kids.
Do you guys speak Spanish? Or because my sisters have both spent some time in Costa Rica through like student exchange, but they're both fluent in Spanish. So I find it fascinating when somebody picks up and moves to a country where they don't know the language.
Well, you
so
also
how
might
is
find
your Spanish?
This. Lo siento, mi español no es bueno.
Okay, a lot more than me.
Not. I understood. She said a little bit, right? Not very good.
No, she not said I'm very, sorry, my but my Spanish isn't very good.
That was close. Right. Hey, mine's worse.
Well,
so, but I did okay.
What you might find interesting is none of us knowing Spanish. Jason had never actually been to Costa Rica. I have been and visited Tiffany. He just did it.
So he just went blind.
Blind.
I
face.
Like it.
Like, I trust you. Like, let's do this.
Now, how did he feel about getting rid of everything? Was he more open to it than you, or was he about the same?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
No, he's a total minimalist.
Okay.
He's like, we need one bowl for each person, one plate. One set of silverware. That's all we need. We don't need extras. Like, he's like that.
I can relate.
So you said you had anxiety about getting rid of your stuff. How did you overcome that?
I think the excitement of the next journey, or like the high of that, you know, really like I was able to beat back the anxiety of giving stuff up and knowing that in the end, it is just stuff. Like, you can get more stuff always.
Go ahead.
No, it's always been kind of a thing here that is a constant with us. And just, we can always go back to the States and buy a new house and get a car and get stuff. Like, it's very easy to do. So once you kind of shift your thinking to that, you realize that, okay, you don't need all this crap, because if you want to do it, you can do it. Like, if you want to go back and have all that stuff, you can easily go back and have all that stuff.
So being in Costa Rica, is that kind of what draws you to stay there? Like, the freeing piece of not having to worry about all the stuff and just living the Pura Vida life, if you will? Is that what really draws you to stay? Like, what is it that like has anchored you there? Like, you love being there. You don't want to come back to the States, or
what I love here. So we live in a town that's a pretty good mix of local Ticos and Ticas and expats. And what I love is our town specifically is sort of described as what, I mean, obviously I wasn't born then, so I don't know, but what America was like in the 1950s. The kids are more freer. I don't know. It's just a little bit more lax. It's a little bit more laid back. It's a small town. Everyone kind of looks out for everyone, you know, like little kids, the age of like 5 or 6 can walk to the super by themselves and get and shop and come home. And it's not a big deal. It's not weird, or, you know, I don't know.
I can't even fathom that process. Like, for me and my personality, I can't think about letting, like, I don't know. It's just, maybe it's, again, because I'm in the States and it's a different. That's really interesting.
In another country, you let your girls walk to the store by themselves, Kane?
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, to even think about doing that is very, I can't imagine. So, I mean, how long have you been there again? Well, how long have you, I don't know if you said that yet. How long have you guys been in the Costa Rica so far?
We've been here, actually, tomorrow is our 4-year anniversary.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Awesome. But the thing is it's where I live. It's regional. So I'm not. Like, I think the statistic is something like 90% of the population of Costa Rica lives in the Central Valley, where the capital is and the cities are, where it's like a city, where you wouldn't be able to distinguish between, you know, here in the States. It's all kind of, you know, you can get everything you want. You can go to a Denny's, like, it's the same.
Don't drink the water. Like, just kidding. Sorry.
Yeah. So where we live in Guanacaste, in that region, it's just more laid back and more like or community driven, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like the local school, the kids, and they start at like 4 years old. They can leave the local school and walk all down the street, cross the main street by themselves, and go to the super on snack time and get snacks and walk.
So they leave school to go get snack time for during snack time?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
That's awesome.
Like, where do they go? Your version of like a 7-Eleven, Cumberland Farms? And get snack? Like,
not like that. No, there's no air conditioning in these supers.
Okay.
It's like a little super. I don't know. It's bigger. We have supers that are like 7-Eleven. And in the Central Valley, once again, I'm only talking about in where the area where
are
I live.
Are you guys more coastal?
Yeah, we live on the Pacific Coast.
Okay.
So how close are you to the coast?
At night, with our windows open, we can hear the ocean.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
So does anybody surf?
Of course. Well, in our family, no.
Yes. Nobody in your family, though?
No. God, no. You're zero in Costa Rica. Come on. Wow.
Yeah, the waves are way better than, well, they're bigger, right, than Florida?
Yeah, but you also have to worry about saltwater alligators or crocodiles, saltwater crocodiles.
Don't worry about that.
That didn't scare me either. Yeah. I'd be fine with that. I'd be more worried about my kid walking to the store by themselves more than the
alligator. No way, that's awesome.
No, I like it. I just can't fathom it. That's all I'm saying.
By the way, Nikki, they're saying this from a safe couch. So,
exactly.
Listen,
this is a chair.
If I'm living in Costa, I'm surfing. Okay.
Yeah.
I've surfed a little. I don't surf. I'm not great at by any means, but yeah, they'd probably have a pretty good wave there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. So the allure, right? So it sounds like the allure is that really, it's a small, tight-knit community currently, and that is part of what makes you like where you're living at right now.
Yeah. And it's also just, I mean, the Pura Vida vibe is just something that it's hard to explain because sometimes it's really frustrating. Sometimes you want to scream and be like, I effing am so frustrated at the bank when they're telling you, oh, Pura Vida, your bank card will be here in 2 weeks. You know, like, go relax, go chill out.
So they use the term quite a bit?
Yes. Okay. It's a common, very common phrase here.
Okay.
But you get, I like that. And I have to say, so I was just back in the States in August, and that was the first time in almost 2 years that I had been back in the States.
Was that a culture shock?
I had anxiety. I couldn't handle the mall. I went to a mall and I was like, nope, there's way too many people. Like, there's way too much noise. I cannot handle this. Like, why are all these people buying things?
I can appreciate that.
What are they?
Because I take my kids to the mall and they want to go to every store and get every single thing, and they don't realize like there's money involved and they really don't need it. So I can appreciate not the anxiety, you had anxiety, but I mean the process of going somewhere and like realizing like, I don't need any of this nonsense. I don't like it. I don't want to be here.
Yeah, but no, I was excited.
Oh,
like
oh.
Going to the mall was on my list. And then I got there and I was like, nope.
Okay. So what made you get the anxiety? Was it the fact that it was just too many people?
It was a lot of people and a lot of noise. It was so loud and like bright lights and just, I don't know, unnatural.
Yeah.
And
no,
what were these
sense.
People doing? Like, and in my brain, I was like, why aren't they out enjoying sunset? And then I was like, oh yeah, that's not a thing here. Like, and sunset is super amazing here in Costa Rica, like on the Pacific where we live. It's actually like a timeout from your day. Like, store owners will go out and just stand on the beach and watch sunset. For no other reason, just to have that piece of the day and watch sunset. And it's one of my most favorite things now ever, just to walk to the beach with a book and sit and watch sunset. It's peaceful and calming and just kind of pretty amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. So,
do you see yourself living out the rest of your life in Costa Rica, or do you want to continue to travel, or do you see coming back to the States? And kind of a two-part question here. Are you afraid that you're keeping your children from having certain opportunities by not being in the States?
Okay, so I'm going to address the second part first.
Okay.
I definitely don't think I'm keeping my daughter from any opportunities. She goes to a dual language private school here, and I don't think that there's any opportunities in the States versus here that she is missing out on at all, at all. So, and I love that she's, one of my biggest things when I had a kid was being fluent in another language and understanding culture and people. I thought I give more weight to that than other academic things, if that makes sense.
Yes,
so she's like completely fluent, and I drive her insane because I'm like, Simone, what did they say? Can you translate that for me? And she's like, Mom, learn Spanish. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
That's awesome.
My brain is not comprehending this. But I have to say, I don't know what the future holds for me, because my story didn't want to stay in Costa Rica. I wanted to travel. For me, coming to Costa Rica was just the first point in getting my husband to be out of his comfort zone, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And the thing was, is that we lived here for a year, and I was so antsy to go explore the world that we left Costa Rica after a year of being here, almost equally a year. Yeah. And then we spent 4 months taking my stepson, our daughter, and then Jason and I, and we backpacked through Europe and Southeast Asia. And it was amazing. And I wanted to stay in Southeast Asia, and he did not. And we sort of had a issue with that. And then we ended up coming back to Costa Rica. And my journey was that we ended up separating. And we separated in mid-2017. And we ended up trying in 2018 to go back to Florida to get a divorce. And Florida has weird laws, and we were just like, nah, we don't feel like dealing with that. So that's why my status is complicated. But he and I sort of worked through all of our issues, and now we live right across the street from each other, and we co-parent like champs, and our daughter just runs back and forth between our houses. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, it's not anything like I thought it would be when I moved here. I thought it, you know, was going to be completely different. but life throws you curveballs, I think, constantly. And mm-hmm. yeah, we really tried really hard. It was rough at first, but we tried really hard to make it work because we actually loved being here so much. And we loved raising our daughter, and he loved raising his son here. So it was just important that we stayed there or stayed here for them and for us. Okay. I mean, yeah. So
what would you say to our listeners who, like, I've come to the point where I have a 10 and a 7-year-old daughter, and I think about, instead of buying them stuff, which we still do more than they need, think about experiences and like that type of thing. But to make that, like, what would you tell them if they're like, these people are contemplating the thought of, let's just pack up, sell it all and move. Like, cause that's such a big step. And my wife and I talk all the time, like, let's just move to San Diego, California. Like, I don't know why we picked that place, but we think about that. What would you tell that person?
So I would, okay, this is going to be, okay. So I would tell that person, I want to be that champion for everyone and say, do it, sell all of your crap. You know, like, it's super free and you're going to have the most amazing time. But I also have learned that that's not everybody isn't the same. And you see it here a lot with the expat community, people who did all that, sold it all and moved down here. Mm-hmm. And after a year, like, nope, this is not for me. I can't handle this. But my biggest thing is I think you should just try it out. Maybe on like a small scale, like, don't sell all your, I'm trying not to curse, just so you know.
It's okay. We have the E in our podcast, so you can explicit. You're good.
Oh, okay. Cause yeah. Okay.
Let that wine flow and just do your thing.
My advice is, don't sell all your shit like we did and just go all in, because we were all in. There was no going back at that point. Okay. Maybe take a baby step or a medium sized, I don't know.
Would that be like a long trip just to check out, to test the waters of the place you're thinking about?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, because the question I would have, and I didn't mean to cut you off, Nikki, but the question I would have, though, if you didn't do that, right, like, what would, do you think it would be different for you? Or do you think you still would have went to Costa?
I don't think that I could have been the person who didn't sell everything and was all in. I'm an all in girl. Like, let's do it.
We'll
figure it out. If it doesn't work out, we're going to figure it out from there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like how my life has been, I guess. And so I'm okay with kind of flying by the seat of my pants and being like, okay, we got here and, you know, shit sucked. Now we have nothing to go back to the States. What are we going to do? Let's figure it out. You know?
So basically, you're a walk-in, not a reservation kind of person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. I'm not a reservations kind of girl.
Got it.
But I can appreciate that, because I myself am kind of an all-in kind of guy. Either I'm all in or I'm all out.
I'm very black and white in that regard. So that's where it's like, I got you.
Now, I can definitely see where if I personally took that half step, if I went to stay somewhere for, say, 2 months over the summer or something like that, I would probably more than likely talk myself out of it than talk myself into it. Whereas if I just did it, then I would be like, okay, we're here. Let's figure it out. Now, but so if you would have done the 2-month vacation there, do you wish you would have done that and then maybe done it at a couple places around the world, like Southeast Asia or something, and maybe wound up at one of those places instead? Or are you happy the way you did it?
I'm totally happy the way I did it. Was it perfect? Did it cause a lot of drama at some point? And I don't know, all this stuff. Yeah. But I'm 100% okay with the way things happened. And Jason and I husband, ex-husband, we consider ourselves exes at this point. I love our relationship now. Like, we have a calendar that we put on for dates. Like, hey, I need you to take Simone this day, or blah, 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 because I have a date. Or, you know, like, it's like a best friend type relationship on a basic friend level.
I get that. And I commend you for that, because that's not an easy thing to do. But to put your kids first is important. So,
and it wasn't easy at first. I mean, this took time for us to get here. But I honestly, and this is something he and I have both said over and over again, if we went through what we went through in the States, it would have been a nasty, horrible, evil divorce. But because we did it here, it was different.
Okay. Now, So having said that, right? So now you're living in Costa.
And he's got his job working for the mountain biking place, and you guys are separated. So what was your job when you moved to Cozy? You said homeschooling only lasted a month or so. So did you find a job, or did you get a job, or what did that look like?
Well, I work online mostly. A lot. I build my own like affiliate websites. So, you know, people buy crap on there and then I get like affiliate price. You know, you get like a commission on it and stuff like that. Blogging and then picking up I do a lot of work on Upwork.com, take a lot of jobs there. But I currently actually help manage an English language magazine here. So,
okay. Interesting. So did you have a problem getting a job doing that there? Because you said it was kind of tough to get a job in Costa Rica making money.
It's tough and it's illegal for the most part, unless you have a special skill set. So there's, to be 100% transparent, it's a loophole job. Like, because I do my work online and they're a U.S. company, even though they're here.
Okay. So technically you're working out of the U.S.?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, so, you said it's your community is a mix between Costa Ricans and expats. Is that what you call them?
Mm-hmm.
What is expat?
Expats, yeah.
Expatriates.
Expats are people that leave their home country and move to another country, basically.
Okay.
Now,
it's a lot of gringos.
So if I decide that I want to go to Costa Rica, right? Like, let's pretend I'm going to retire there. And I have kind of talked about that. But if I go to retire in Costa Rica, can I buy property in Costa Rica?
Yeah. So you can buy property. You can buy property. You can own a corporation. You can start a business, all of that stuff without being a resident. So if you retire and you have a retirement fund, there's an actual special like pensionado, it's called, for retired people. And you get your papers to be legal here. And the thing is that you're legal here anyways, because you get a 90-day stamp on your passport, and then most people border jump. So okay. You just run, like where we live, we're like an hour and a half away from the Nicaraguan border. And so you just go up there every 90 days. There's a freaking shuttle. You pay like $45 and they shuttle all the gringos up and they get their stamp and you come back the same day. Hmm. And so, yeah, it's not.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I know, like in Mexico, or at least I think I know, if I was to buy property in Mexico and I die, I believe that property goes back to the government. Do you know if that's the case in Costa Rica?
Okay. Well, I haven't looked into a lot of buying property and then dying laws in Costa Rica. So
that's fair. That's really fair.
Yep.
Clue.
Now, what would you say?
No.
What would you say to people that are afraid to go to a Nicaragua, Panama, Costa?
Oh my gosh, I think they're ridiculous. I think they're stupid, and not stupid, that's not the right word. It's think they're ignorant.
Yeah.
That's the word. I think they're ignorant. I think that Costa Rica, I think, is like the safest Central American country here. But I mean, come on. Danger is all around you everywhere you go. You know, like Costa Rica is easy for me. I believe that if you're coming for the first time to Central America or, you know, like a Latin country, Costa Rica is really easy. I mean, they freaking take the dollar. You can pay in dollars or colones. The local currency.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, I think US dollars is the actual local currency.
Yeah. So colones are the local currency. And if you pay in dollars, you're probably going to get shortchanged on, you know, the conversion rate they give you, but you can totally pay in dollars and it not be an issue. It's a really, I think, an easy start to transitioning your life from the States to a country, a developing nation. I mean,
a good gateway expat.
Yeah, but I think what people would be really surprised about is Costa Rica is expensive. So our food costs are probably on par to what we have in the States. And that's not buying like imported goods from the States.
That's not
It's
bueno.
Still expensive here. You know, like our rent is ridiculously cheap, but internet is the same as it is in the States for price. I think it's pretty accurate. But food is expensive. Cars are expensive. Like my little 1992 door Nissan Sentra that had probably has like 600,000 miles on it, was $2,000.
Wow. Oh, now have you ever been to Panama?
I have only visited Panama, but I don't know the cost of living. I know Nicaragua, and it's insanely cheap.
Okay.
Now, you said there wasn't AC in the supers. You have AC in your house and your apartments and stuff, I assume, though?
This is important.
Okay, so the little local supers don't have AC in them. Okay. But the, like, gringo one down the street, the two gringo ones have AC in them, of course.
So did the gringo ones charge you more
for the AC? Of course they charge you more.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to the gringo one.
No.
You can get anything your heart desires at the gringo one. You want imported European cheese for $21 an ounce?
Not really.
Have at it. It's there for you. But you're going to pay, you know, dearly for it. AC is common. It's generally in most of the basic places. We have AC, but I don't think the last time I used AC in my house was... I think because we just moved to another little casita. I think we used it the last week. So July, we used it for a week, but I haven't used AC since.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the weather like? Like year round?
It's
hot. Is it like Florida?
So where I live in Guanacaste and on the Pacific side, and it's considered a tropical desert. So from end of November, beginning of December to May, it's completely dry. There's no rain. All of the trees turn brown. It's dusty. It's hot. April and May are hot. I mean, like 42 Celsius, 43 Celsius. So like 99, 102 degrees, hot. But dry heat, not humid during that time. And then rainy season hits end of May to November-ish. And then it's just cool and humid. Okay. But you get used to it.
Right on. So what would you say to any of the listeners that are just like, they feel stuck in the United States and they want to travel, but they're just like, oh, I can't do it. There's no way.
I say do it in little increments. If they feel like they can't do it, and because it's really overwhelming to do it in one big step, like sell all of your stuff and just like 100% commit to that, do it in little increments. I had friends who loved what we did, and this girlfriend of mine, her husband and kids in Orlando, and they were like, we want to do what you do, like what you did, like we want to move to Costa Rica, this sounds amazing, yada yada yada. And so I was like, come down, come visit us for 2 weeks. And they came for 2 weeks and they were like, nope, this is not what we thought it was going to be. Hell no. We're never doing this. But what it did for them is it made them realize that their dream of Costa Rica wasn't reality for them and didn't work for them. They ended up about 6 months later selling everything and buying a giant RV. And now they're traveling around the States.
Yeah.
And they're living.
Oh, and that's kind of the dream of me and Larry, kind of.
Yeah.
Not our wives. But.
No. Yeah. My wife's like, I need a nest. I'm like, I need an RV and I'm out because I can work remote. So I can do this all day.
It's a great point. Yeah. But I thought for them it was cool because she had always said, like, I want to do what you do. Like, this is what I want. This is what I dream of. But then when she got here, she was like, no, this is not for us. But it pushed them into their, like, uncomfortableness to sort of figure out what was right for them.
Yeah.
They ended up doing it. And it was, they're awesome. They're living this fantastic life. She's like a travel nurse. So they basically drive across country to wherever she gets jobs. And yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And one of those to each their own for sure. So we'd like to ask everybody we have on the show, what's something that you can impart on our listeners that you've learned throughout your experiences that you can give to them that they can implement in their life, something that you can just share with them? You got anything like that?
Yeah, I think that for me and the life that I've lived so far, it's really important. You can have those brilliant daydream future goals of your most idyllic life everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important to live in the moment and actually feel and understand what's going around you, because those moments in your mind may never happen or may never work out, you know, like you thought they were going to work out. Like, I never thought that selling all my shit and moving to Costa Rica would end up with my husband and I divorced, you know, like that was never,
especially when he's the one that went with you.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that for everyone listening, and I hate saying live in the moment because it's so cliche, but just sort of live in those moments, not necessarily live in the exact moment at, you know, 5:02 p.m., but in the days and weeks that follow, and understand that change is going to happen, whether you like it or not. Things are going to happen unexpectedly. And then you just got to roll with the punches and just deal with it and live your best life. I hate that phrase too. I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. And I can appreciate that, Nikki. So just as we're wrapping up, where can folks find you?
Okay, so right now I'm trying to revamp my personal blog, and I will give you the new domain address, and you can maybe put up on your Facebook page or whatever. But one of my sites that I use for business purposes that I'm really passionate about is called www.beachlifeiscalling.com. And there's apparel and all sorts of stuff on there and some stories. So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Now, do you share anything on Instagram or anything? Or any social media?
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. So I still, when we originally left on our European backpacking Southeast Asia journey, I had developed a website, which is now defunct, but I keep the Instagram up because it has all our travel stuff and I post to it pretty regularly. So it's 4 Backpacks, 1 World. And then there's also my personal, which is Starchick2As. So Starchick.
All right. Four backpacks. Is that the number 4 or F-O-U-R?
It is F-O-U-R, I believe, for Instagram.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nikki.
Absolutely. Yeah. We appreciate you coming on. And
yeah, it's spelled out.
Okay, cool.
All right. Awesome. We appreciate you. We definitely think you're an extraordinary person taking that jump.
It's crazy.
I feel like a lot of people wouldn't do that. You know, a lot of people get stuck in their rut and they, you know, say they can't do this or can't do that. But sometimes it is just about taking that leap.
Yeah. And it's led me to a new and interesting life on the eve of my 4-year living in Costa Rica anniversary.
Awesome. Thank you, Nikki.
All right, guys.
I think you guys are pretty cool for starting your podcast.
We appreciate it. All right, guys, if you guys got any questions, comments, concerns, you can get us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com. This is Corey.
And if you want to follow us on social media, you can see us on Twitter at Gorilla Full and on Instagram and Facebook at Full Gorilla Life.
And please not forget to hit the subscribe button on your app of choice. Have a great life.
Later, guys. Peace.
Adios.
Thanks.